This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for March 25th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pincham. The topics of the articles in this podcast are oncology, traumatic brain injury, and hydrocephalus. Quantitative fluorescence in intracranial tumor. Implications for ALA-induced protoporphyrin 9 as an intraoperative biomarker. A clinical article by Pablo Valdez and colleagues. Accurate discrimination between tumor and normal tissue is crucial for optimal tumor resection. Several clinical studies have shown that high-grade gliomas accumulate the endogenous fluorescent biomarker, protoporphyrin 9, specifically and in concentration sufficient for visual detection during surgery under blue light exposure after exogenous administration of delta-aminolevulinic acid, or ALA. Unfortunately, the same has not been true for lower-grade disease, where the clinical impact in terms of prolonging survival could be more substantial. The authors studied 14 patients with diagnoses of low-grade glioma, high-grade glioma, meningioma, and metastasis for fluorescence-guided resection. The primary aim of the study was to compare the diagnostic capabilities of a highly sensitive, spectrally resolved quantitative fluorescence approach to conventional fluorescence imaging for detection of neoplastic tissue in vivo. In this paper, the authors show that quantitative in vivo measurements based on a light transport modeling approach improve substantially the diagnostic capabilities of protoporphyrin 9 as a brain tumor diagnostic across a range of histologies. Their data demonstrate that the biological targeting of ALA-induced protoporphyrin 9 fluorescence extends to low-grade gliomas with diagnostic fidelity. This finding reverses current thinking that these tumors are not amenable to fluorescence-guided resection using this particular biomarker. The authors believe that this quantitative approach for intraoperative in vivo measurement of protoporphyrin 9 concentrations opens the door to real-time delineation and diagnosis of intracranial tumor histologies beyond high-grade gliomas. Outcomes of 33 patients from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan undergoing bilateral or bicompartmental craniectomy. A clinical article by Robert Ecker and co-authors. This paper provides a detailed look at 33 severely brain-injured patients from the ongoing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Every patient underwent either bilateral supratentorial craniectomy or both supra- and infratentorial decompressions as life-saving strategies. All of the patients suffered from penetrating brain injury from blast fragments or gunshot wounds. The authors were interested in studying these patients for two reasons. First, the patients represented a clearly definable group of the authors' most aggressively treated, severely brain-injured patients. Second, there remains little long-term data examining outcomes in patients with severe penetrating brain injuries undergoing early and extensive decompression. Despite an average initial Glasgow Coma Scale score of 5, 60% of these patients are independent at long-term follow-up. Only 7% remained vegetative at 1 year, which compares extremely well with civilian trauma with similar initial Glasgow Coma Scale scores. The patients with bifrontal injury fared the best. Patients who developed a systemic infection or who had cerebrovascular injury did not do as well in the short or the long term. Use of cerebrospinal fluid, amyloid beta, and total tau protein to predict favorable surgical outcomes in patients with idiopathic normal pressure hydrocephalus. A clinical article by Andrew Tarnaris and colleagues. This study examines the value of cerebrospinal fluid biomarkers in predicting outcome in patients with idiopathic normal pressure hydrocephalus. Cerebrospinal fluid was analyzed for amyloid beta and total tau proteins. Then, patient outcomes were assessed at 6 months after surgical insertion of a cerebrospinal fluid shunt. Neither protein had a useful prognostic value on its own, but when combined, they had better than 80% sensitivity and specificity in predicting surgical outcome. In patients with idiopathic normal pressure hydrocephalus, those who respond well to treatment tend to have lower amyloid beta and total tau protein levels. The authors conclude that the combination of both markers can discriminate between favorable and unfavorable outcome groups, with adequate sensitivity and specificity to be useful in a clinical setting. This study highlights the prognostic value of cerebrospinal fluid biomarkers in addition to their more familiar diagnostic role. The authors note that further research is needed to clarify whether lower concentrations of the markers detect milder forms of the disease, or patients who are at an earlier stage of disease progression, or maybe higher concentrations indicate the presence of other degenerative conditions which reduce the potential to benefit from treatment of hydrocephalus. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.